You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 297. Today is Sunday, May 10th, 2015, and my name is Steve. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I am happy to be joined by both Hammy and Curtis. And guys, tonight's show is sponsored by Front Row Seats, our first ever sponsor, so go out and use them. Here's the deal. If you're looking for tickets, Braves tickets, concert tickets, other sporting events, you'll get them at the best price online, guaranteed. Use discount code ABT at the Front Row Seats checkout page, and you won't pay any service fees. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com or download the Front Row Seats mobile app. That's frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss front office management of the bullpen, pitching to Bryce Harper, and we'll check in on some of the trades from the offseason. But first, while the pitching continues to be the Achilles heel of the team this year, see the 2-4 week this week, the third losing week in a row, but the offense continues to produce. Let's look at some real quick numbers. So runs scored were 7th this year. Last year at the end of the season, we were 14th. Batting average were 7th. We were 11th last year. On base, we were 6th this year, 10th last year. And this one surprised me the most. Slugging, we are 9th this year. We ended the year last year 14th. So, Ham, where does the credit go? What do you attribute all this to?
Well, and I would, you know, throw to that, last year we finished 4th in the majors in Ks, and we were essentially averaging 3 strikeouts for every walk we had. This year we are 28th in the league in strikeouts and down to 2 strikeouts for every walk. So that's another, you know, comparison to last year. And so I mean, there's 2 things. I feel like you've got to give Seitzer some credit. I know that it's always very hard to understand how a batting coach or a hitting coach can influence a team. But certainly he has different personnel this year, but he's got to get some of the credit, just the general approach to the plate. I think it also helps, you know, you should give some credit to the front office. The fact that Gattis and the Uptons and even Ugla are off the roster, which is certainly going to keep your help you have a lower K rate. So I think those are so that's some of the credit is we're just getting on base more. You mentioned the OBP. You know, we're 10th in the majors this year in OBP with a 3.23. It helps also that Freeman and Simmons are raking it as well as Przinski and Markakis. But I think the biggest thing is the strikeouts. Cutting those down has led to the most success for the offense.
Yeah, Curtis, what do you see?
Well, and it's I mean, all those are numbers, great numbers. And there's some ones that it's all, and I think it's kind of addition by subtraction with a lot of these guys, as Ham was talking about. You extract some of these strikeouts, and they weren't really hitting home runs. I mean, we see what Justin has done. But he's a very streaky guy. We see what Hayward is doing, which we kind of saw a lot of. And we've taken those guys out, and obviously we've lost some power. But you know, there's so and it's
yeah,
not
we're slugging better this year.
Yeah,
it's insane.
And it's not like cheap. Like the BABIP number is not like it's 500 or something. It's 291 for the team, which means that they're, you know, that's not fluky. It's genuine. They're batting 385 with the bases loaded. That used to drive us crazy last year, how terrible they were in that situation. Scoring position with 2 outs, they're batting 283. Last year they batted 193. So it's almost like a completely fundamental change in the philosophy and what they do. And the fact that it's taken place so quickly, granted you've removed a lot of pieces from this scenario. But they're certainly, we should give Seitzer credit that they have acclimated this and the front office that they brought in some of these pieces to do exactly what they wanted to do, which is to put the ball in play. They're grounding into a lot of double plays, but that's because they're putting the ball in play. They did that last year too. But yeah, I mean, it's much more fun than all or nothing. It's you kind of always feel that because small ball, you feel like they can generate runs in a variety of ways as opposed to just waiting around for the 3-run homer.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things at play, right? Hammy, you mentioned the talent on the team. I mean, that's first and foremost, that's the thing, right? I mean, you think about what Jace Peterson is doing. In his last 15 games, his slash line is .333, .396, .333. So all of a sudden, second base is being much more productive. Freddie has gone bonkers the last 2 weeks. He's hitting almost .400. He's on base .435. So his numbers are much better. Markakis is having a better year so far than Hayward did to this point last year. Simmons is having a much better year. All of a sudden, Maben, we're going to talk about Maben a little bit later, Maben's hitting, so center field is a much, you know, much more offensive production. So just the talent itself is a big piece of it, which, again, is kind of funny to be saying. Like, it's insane and horribly frustrating that the biggest concern, the offense, is actually the biggest strength. Like, what could have been if the bullpen and the starting pitching, but okay.
The bench too, their pinch hitting, they're batting .282, which is sixth in Major League Baseball.
It's exciting though. I mean, you want them to be building a good sort of philosophical foundation with some of these guys. And so I like that as we get better talent and some of these guys mature, I think that we're going to have a good, have a better approach to the plate overall, which will serve us better in the long term, right, instead of just, the previous approaches.
Which gets to Seitzer, and clearly the message he's delivering is getting through. And it helps with the mental part of the game, which is such a big part of the game. You could see it last year. These guys didn't think they were going to get hits. When they went down, they didn't think they were going to get, they didn't think they were going to come back. There was a quote from Freddie today after the game. After the game today, he said, "Usually last year, if we got down 3-4 or 5-0, we'd be done. This year, we're never down. We got 3-0 and came back." Like, that speaks to a really big shift in the clubhouse and in the dugout for this team. And that is in no small part to the message Seitzer's providing, the message that the other guys, the veterans that they brought in. I mean, look, I've been listening to a lot of the radio broadcasts this year, and Jim and Don have become a little nauseating with their, like, arrogance of their playing the right way and putting the team, putting last year's team down so much. And it's just a little much, but there's something to it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we are absolutely seeing it this year, that this team just functions a little better and is, literally by numbers more productive than last year.
Yeah.
Well, and we, not to harp on the strikeout thing again, but the Cubs have 115 more strikeouts than the Braves do this year. So it's to all those outs that you're not taking in the most unproductive way. I mean, you saw how the Braves went up a run today, and it was just little bloops and bleeders and things like that. But you know what? They ended up scoring a run. That one little ball that got over the second baseman's head, you put the ball in play and you see what happens. And striking out, I don't want to start that conversation again because we're headed in the right direction, obviously, in great ways. But it's just, you're not losing so many outs so unproductively this year that you have to consider that as part of it as well.
And demoralizing the rest of the lineup. I mean, I think part of Freddie's, part of Freddie's quote and things I've heard on the broadcasts about the, hitting is contagious, right? And to see, to have those just quick strikeout innings last year was just demoralizing. You could see it on their faces. So speaking of demoralizing, Kurt, let's talk about the bullpen.
I love when I get these thrown to me.
Yeah. You're so negative, Kurt.
Yes.
Talk about the bullpen, but don't be negative.
So there have been a million lineups this year, Kurt, but almost as many moves in and out of the bullpen this year. So do you think that the front office is managing the bullpen as it should this year?
I don't think so. And I'm not, I guess I'm trying to get a grasp on what it is that they're doing. There's a lot of pieces just coming and going seemingly at will. And I know some of these that, they've made these moves to kind of maybe give some guys some rest and send them down. But I don't know. I mean, you seem like you have some guys that are pitching really well. and they've been relegated to Gwinnett for no real reason. And then you bring up guys like Veal and Williams Perez and guys like this. And why? I mean, I don't understand sometimes what these moves are. I mean, we just talked about Khan last week and how great he was, and he gets sent down. And yeah. I don't – why? I mean, they never really said why. Did they say why? Maybe I missed that. But with Kniff, we saw it earlier. He got sent down when he was pitching really well. Ian Thomas, I mean, he didn't pitch badly. I think he had one bad outing. He got sent down. I just don't understand the musical chairs. I guess that's my question.
Yeah, so I really disagree, Kerr. I think – so the guys that they've gotten rid of this year – Juan Jaime, Sugar Ray, Ian Thomas, John Cornelly, Donnie Veal. They've all been real bad. And if it's not just in ERA, it's in walking guys, not having clean innings. I think that they're trying to get lucky and find someone who can be consistent. With Kniff, it had been during an awful stretch as in terms of bullpen usage, which is saying a lot. And he had pitched like three of the last 4 days or 3 days in a row, and they knew that they needed a fresh arm, and so they sent him down. And I was confused about the Michael Kahn thing, too, for Williams Perez, and forgetting the fact that Perez came up and was just awful and got shellacked Friday night against the Nationals. Kahn had pitched 3 days in a row. He had no hits and no runs, although he had issued walks in two of those innings. I think it was another one of those, we know we can't pitch him for a couple of days, so let's get a fresh arm up here. No one's that good. I think they're just dealing with a lot of mediocre arms, and they're just cycling them through to see if someone looks decent.
Well, but a lot of these are young guys. I mean, don't you worry that it has some impact psychologically that, oh, if you don't pitch well, we're sending you back to Gwinnett?
I think everybody, but it's not like these guys, I think they sort of understand that there's going to be a revolving door and a lot of people will get chances. So there's not so much pressure actually, right? Because there's so much fluidity between the majors and the minors here, you don't feel like you've got one shot or it's nothing. And I think it may be nice to go up and see how people respond to pitching at Turner Field or on the road and give them a taste of it and then let them go back and work on more mechanics. I mean, Steve, you said it perfectly. They've just got a lot of mediocre talent. I mean, there's like three or four people you know we're going to keep in the bullpen, but the other ones are all – nobody's a sure thing. They're all somewhat expendable, and I think they're just trying to find someone that something clicks for for prolonged stretches. And they might as well give these younger guys an opportunity now when there's not as much at stake.
But nobody's getting a prolonged stretch. I guess that's my point. I mean, they're up and down, up and down. I mean, they're up here for 2 weeks and then they're back down.
Yeah, but for the most part, Kirk, during those 2 weeks, Michael Kahn being, I think, the exception, they were getting rocked. I mean, Cornelly looked awful. Donnie Veal looked awful. Sugar Ray, after that first good outing, looked awful. I mean, look, there may be something with a lack of continuity in there and guys just feel too much pressure. But I think that they're just not good and they're hoping to send them down, season them a little bit more. And in Gwinnett, I think I'd seen a tweet. I meant to look it up before the show and I didn't. I think that after he got sent down last time, I think Donnie Veal has been actually pitching very well. Or maybe it was Juan Jaime. One of those guys, you know. And if I think they start putting together good lines down there, they'll come back up. I think this is what you got to do. And look, you know, when you got someone like Cahill, you don't touch him. You just leave him there.
That's true. If there's one
the
solid piece. Yeah. If there's one thing set in stone in the bullpen, it's Cahill.
For 5.5 million reasons. All right, guys. Next up is Fair or Foul. But first, a quick word from Front Row Seats. Get the best deals on tickets online. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com. Use discount code ABT, and you won't be charged any service fees. That's frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, Hammy, let's play Fair or Foul. So one question tonight, fair or foul? The Braves should have pitched to Bryce Harper in the bottom of the ninth of that tie game on Saturday.
I think you have to pitch around him. I mean, whether it's Cody Martin or whoever else you want to bring in or whoever, I mean, I think whatever the matchup, regardless of the pitcher, you have to pitch around Bryce Harper the way he's hitting. If you want a chance to, I don't get the reason you go after him. I just don't get it. So I think you pitch around him. So what was it? Foul. Don't pitch to him.
Yeah, foul for you. All right, Curtis. Foul.
Yeah, same. Absolutely no reason to pitch to him. His run means absolutely nothing in that game. So you avoid that chance. But the Braves seem to do this a lot, especially under Freddie. But I guess they kind of did it under Bobby Cox, too, that they felt like they could pitch to anybody. I don't get it.
Yeah, so I totally disagree with you guys. And frankly, I don't understand, because there's a lot of noise about this on Twitter and other social media as well. I mean, it was one out, guy on first. So you're going to walk Harper, who's not Barry Bonds. I know he's had a good week, but he's not Barry Bonds. So you're going to walk a guy into scoring position, right? I know that Harper's run doesn't mean anything, but then you put a guy into scoring position with just one out.
Wasn't he already at second?
No, it was a guy at first. There was a man on first. And so you're going to put him at second. And the force is already in place. You've got Zimmerman coming up, who's not like he's the pitcher. Like, to me, you know, Harper's had a great week, but you got to pitch to him. It's not, you know, there's like three guys that you don't pitch to, and Harper's not one of them. I think this whole thing is really overblown and kind of crazy. And it just didn't work out. You know, clearly it went badly. Don't get me wrong. And utterly depressing. And Kurt, I loved your tweet about it. I think I'd rather have been Ugla than Harper. And I totally agree. It was awful. But I think that you pitched to him. And we pitched to him today and popped him up.
I will offer that after this weekend, I think that Washington, D.C. has taken my least favorite sports town role over L.A. and New York. Wow. This was so brutally ugly watching the Hawks and the Braves lose to DC teams in DC over the course of about 30 minutes. Really was both on basically walk off.
Yeah, exactly.
It was pretty nauseating, and it to be Bryce Harper and Paul Pierce, two of the more unsavory people in sports,
abrasive.
Yes. All right, everybody, we are approaching our 300th show in 3 weeks, and we'd like to help celebrate that by reaching 5,000 followers on Twitter. We're about 350 away, so we'd like your help. Please retweet, spread the word on Twitter, on Facebook, do what you can, if you're willing, to help get us to 5,000 followers over the next 3 weeks.
Or just open 850 new Twitter handles and like us.
Exactly. We're easy. All right, guys, let's take a look at some of the trades from the offseason and see how the players are faring so far. We'll start with one of the blockbusters first, with the Hayward Walden for Shelby Miller Tyrell Jenkins trade. So Hayward's slash line as of today is 259, 312, 371. Hayward has actually heated up some because he was really hovering around 200 for a long time. Jordan Walden has a whip of 1.06 and an ERA of 87. Although I had missed this, but I learned today when I was looking this up that he went on the DL 4 days ago and is expected to be out 6 to 10 weeks with a shoulder strain.
Wait, Jordan Walden went on the DL?
Jordan Walden. I know, it's weird. It's weird. All right. So the other side, what we got, Shelby Miller, 4-1, 1.66 ERA. A whip of under one, a batting average against of 178. And then Tyrell Jenkins, who is starting, he has an ERA of 4.06. He's walking four per nine innings, striking out 5.5 per nine innings. So, guys, what do you think about this trade so far? Curtis?
Well, I think it could be huge for the Braves. I don't think that Jason Hayward is ever going to be the offensive piece that the Braves would have needed to really anchor their lineup. Obviously, he's a great defensive player, but you know, you can't pay a guy $17-18 million to be a Gold Glove right fielder.
Yep.
And Shelby Miller, watching him pitch this year, I told you, I was like, it's almost like this is payback for the Wainwright trade. I mean, he is so good. And to think to have him anchoring a starting rotation. If Tehran can get his act together, Wood, Folty, Whistler, all these guys that they pulled over in these trades, if we can get three or four of that group to be really high caliber or top notch starting, then that could be an amazing rotation, and he would be the focal point of that.
It is kind of a nice daydream, assuming, like, if Hayward doesn't break out offensively this year, I don't know that the Cards re-sign him, right? So 3 or 4 years from now, some father's watching a Braves Cardinals game with his son, and he's new to the game, and Shelby Miller is starting and kicking butt, and he's like, he used to be a Cardinal. We had him for a trade, and we got rid of that guy after 1 year. And it could happen. And I say that because whenever Wainwright comes on, I'm like, to my oldest, we used to have that guy.
We used to have that. I say that about every Brave. For better or for worse.
Yeah. And look, yeah. Walden, of course, Walden would have been very nice in the bullpen these few weeks, but he's injury prone, and you see it here. Right? I mean, 6 to 10 weeks, man, that's huge. That's a bad deal for them.
And we really, even though the Cardinals' offense was not great last year, they didn't need Hayward to be competitive as much as we needed Miller to be who he was this year to be competitive. Like, we really needed that trade to pay off. I mean, I think they have a better way of masking Hayward.
Yeah.
And so we needed it more. And I think, the slash line is okay. Like you said, he's heating up. He's, he has 21 strikeouts to 8 walks, which is uncharacteristic of him. So, we thought his approach and the Cardinals' approach would really meld together nicely, and he'd be seeing a lot of pitches and having a high OBP. And that's not the case. And Miller has been our savior. Thank God. I mean, our season would be a completely different season without Shelby Miller. It would be abysmal.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, and also we could not afford to have Jason Hayward in our lineup continuing to be that offensive player. I mean, I guess I already said that, but I mean, you talk about the Cardinals being able to absorb his offensive output. Well, even more importantly, the Braves could not absorb that anymore. It was having a major impact because, one, they couldn't figure out where to play him. And two, he wasn't producing. So, yeah, that's a win in that regard, too.
Yeah, and Tyrell Jenkins looks fine so far, and who knows? These guys, it's early. But he could be something. All right, let's look at one of the smaller trades. So David Carpenter and Chasen Shreve for Manny Banuelos to the Yankees. So Carpenter, his ERA is 5.40, but really due to two bad outings. His whip is 1.2. And Chasen Shreve has a 2.19 ERA and a 1.05 whip. That's a lefty we could use in the bullpen right now. Banuelos is at 3.06 ERA, 1.2 whip, 7.5 strikeouts per 9, 3.9 walks per 9. So, Curtis, what do you think about this trade?
Well, I guess Banuelos kind of falls in the second tier of potential starters for us, to me. I guess I'm looking at more of that group that I just mentioned, and we could certainly use Carpenter and Shreve in this bullpen right now. As we've talked about, the Braves are now 1-5 against the Nationals, and in all 5 losses, they've given up a lead. I think that's what they said on the broadcast today. Although it seems like the game after they blew that big lead, they got blown out in that game. But, it's just the pitching is letting us down, and the bullpen's a big part of that. So we gave up the big pieces, and Banuelos seems like he's just another guy that they're kind of hoping maybe can contribute at some point. Not that they're putting big high expectations on him. So I think that one kind of goes towards the Yankees right now.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly hurts, and the numbers and the major league production they're getting is certainly good, but I stand by this trade. Carpenter, I never really trusted. Well, a couple things, right? After Carpenter gave up the Juan Uribe homer, he never quite looked the same for the Braves, I thought.
Yep.
And these are two pieces, these are the kind of middle relievers that you should be able to replace. And we got a guy who could really be, a 3 or a 4 in a starting rotation. I mean, if Manny Banuelos was any good, imagine having a really solid four right now. To me, the upside is so much better for the Braves on this, but it certainly hurts in the short term. Hammy, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, your last sentence was it. I mean, I feel like we had to make that trade. It's unfortunate that I think, you know, Carpenter, I have a bad taste in my mouth for Carpenter. I wish we had Shreve. I don't care about Carpenter. But I'm glad to not have that for Banuelos. You know, that was the right move, even though it didn't pay off.
All right, guys, new segment we started last week called Find the Silver Lining, what we can hang our hats on this week. Certainly it's not wins. All right, Curtis, what do you got this week?
Well, I ironically, you talked about him earlier, and he was my shot in the dark in, I guess, now a negative way. Jace Peterson really is heated up and is really looking good. In May, he's batting .333, batted .400 this week. So, yeah, he has really turned it around, and it's been nice to see.
Hammy, how about you?
There's not a ton. You're right. You know, I would say Avilan. I mean, he hasn't given up any earned runs this week. He's in three games. He's struck out four. He has given up four hits, but he hasn't walked anyone. So,
yeah, any zeros from the bullpen are,
and there are not many of them.
Yeah, there's not many.
Khan, like we talked about, had some, and then that's it from the relievers over the last 7 days.
Yeah. So mine is Cameron Maybin, who's hit .272 this week with two doubles. I mean, can you imagine .272 each week from center field at any point last year? I imagine we didn't have it ever, the whole week. I mean, the whole year, you know? I don't know that Maybin can really keep this up. Certainly a good week. He got all the starts this past week. EY Jr. has clearly been relegated to the bench. You know, you hear people talk about Maybin that because he was a high, you know, draft pick and he's been hurt by injuries. And my God, it would be a boon to this team if he really could be a player of this caliber week in and week out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It would be something. All right, folks. Last word of the night from Front Row Seats. Don't forget to get the best deals on Braves tickets online. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com. Use discount code ABT, and you don't get charged any service fees. That's frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, guys, time for Shot in the Dark, our prediction for the coming week. And we will start with our listener pick from last week. It was from Roman Henry on Twitter. And his prediction was that Markakis and Jace Peterson both would get their first home runs this week. That was not meant to be. It is kind of crazy that Markakis hasn't hit a home run yet, by the way. We're, whatever, 7 weeks into this season. All right, guys, before we get to our predictions for this week, let's check in on last week. So, Kurt, you predicted Jace Peterson would have four hits this week. Boo.
Well, he did, in fact, have four hits this week.
Yeah, and then those four others as well. So, eight hits, batting average of .400, as you mentioned. I predicted that we'd give up a total of two earned runs across the entire Phillies series. We gave up 10. So the win goes to nobody. All right, so let's see what we can do this week. Kurt, what you got?
I have that the starting pitchers log one win this week. That doesn't mean that they're only going to get one week win as a team, but that we only get one out of the starters.
Mm. All righty. Hammy?
I think that Freeman is going to have two homers and two doubles.
All right. You know, speaking of Freeman, I know I mentioned a little bit at the top of the show, but I don't know if I mentioned his numbers. But Freeman has gone berserk. Did I mention that earlier? That he's almost hitting .400 the last 2 weeks?
You did.
We haven't given Freeman a lot of love, but Freeman is really driving the offense right now.
Him and Simmons.
Yeah. It's really, it's just amazing. All right, my shot in the dark for this week is that Cameron Maybin will hit three home runs this week. You know, Cincinnati, it could happen. All right, so let's look to the week ahead. We have six on the road, three at Cincy, three in Florida, and here are the pitching matchups. So Shelby Miller versus Mike Leake and his 2.4 ERA and total domination of us last time we faced him. That's a really good pitching matchup. Game two is Folty versus Desclafini and his 2.5 ERA, although we roughed him up in the last time we faced the Reds for four runs. And then Stoltz Iglesias, who's making his second start of the season. He gave up three runs over five in his first start. All right, on to Florida. Tehran David Phelps, a name we recognize. He's a converted reliever. He has a 2.9 ERA. Wood faces Latos and his 4.72 ERA, but he has settled down a lot since that awful start against Atlanta to start the season. And then finishing up with Shelby Miller's second start of the week versus Tom Kohler, who dominated us in two starts, giving up two earned runs in both of those starts, but not everyone else, given that he has a 5.18 ERA. So, Hammy,
yep.
What do you think? What's the team going to do this week?
I think we go 1-2, 1-2.
Ooh. All right, a little 2-4 from you. Curtis, yep. How about you?
Ditto, across the board.
All right, I've been doing the exact opposite. 2-1, 2-1. We go 4-2 this week. We finally turn it around. I don't know. You know, we have two Shelby Miller starts. We have, what do we have? Faulty stuff. So who else do we have twice? We must have someone else. Oh, we have Wood? No. Miller, Faulty, Stoltz, Tehran, Wood, Miller. How is that? That's only five. What am I missing?
That's six.
That's six? Okay.
That's six.
Oh, that is right. Sorry. 5-1 makes six. Hey, everybody. Okay.
Hey, I was told there'd be no math.
Oh, my goodness. So two Miller starts. You know, maybe that'll work out for us. All right, folks, that is the show. Everyone, please make sure you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.